You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. So we've finally made it to the very first description of the Great Eagles. And by very first, I mean the first time in The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, in the novels that he wrote. Now, of course, the Eagles have been around since the Silmarillion and play an important part in his legendarium. But this is the first time that a young reader who had picked up The Hobbit, let's say in 1940, would have heard about these creatures. This is the very first time. And in this episode, we're going to go over some of the descriptions and some of the ways that Tolkien presents these very important creatures in his legendarium to a young reader or a new reader if you're an adult. And of course, I find all of this very interesting, and we'll get into it in this episode as we go through this section of The Hobbit. But every time the Eagles come up, the thing that pops into my brain is the question, and I know this isn't a Hobbit thing, this is a Lord of the Rings thing, but why didn't the Fellowship use the Eagles to just fly the ring to Mordor? This is always one of those critiques that gets floated around on the internet. And there's very good reasons for that. And we're going to go into the background of the Eagles and answer this question in more detail in the bonus episode this week. But in the meantime, there's a fun response. And I've debated how to present this because this is supposed to be J.R.R. Tolkien's response to the question. Now, this isn't actually, and I could have presented this as, here, check this out. This is what J.R.R. Tolkien said about this. And then you would get the joke, but then some people will be offended because they felt tricked. So I don't want to do this. And you may have seen this floating around on the internet. But here is a joke response. This is somebody imitating him in his response to that question.
And I actually have here a letter written to me by a fellow who's a very, very fond of the Lord of the Rings, and he asked me in the letter why they didn't just fly the eagles into Mordor, and I told him I get this same question that people run into me at the pub and ask why didn't they just fly the eagles to Mordor. It would have made the quest a whole lot easier. And I told him the same thing that I'm telling you right now. Shut up.
What is all this uproar in the forest tonight? Said the Lord of the Eagles. He was sitting, black in the moonlight, on the top of a lonely pinnacle of rock at the eastern edge of the mountains. I hear wolves' voices. Are the goblins in mischief in the woods? Now let's begin this section by taking a step back and understanding that this is written in, again, a very fairy tale kind of way. This idea that the Great Eagle, the Lord of the Eagles, would be saying this out loud, what is all this uproar in the forest tonight? It feels a little bit stiff, let's be honest. But we've talked about this before. This is intentional. This is the way these kinds of fairy tales are told. Oftentimes, characters will narrate the very thing that they're thinking in order for the listener or the audience or the reader or whoever to understand what's going on. And I mention listener because a lot of these stories were told by word of mouth. They were shared around campfires and things like that. A lot of these old, old stories were verbally communicated before they were written down. And as we know in our own society, there's a very different experience that you get when you read a book and when you watch a movie. They feel different. Sometimes you can't actually take, in fact, most of the time, you can't actually take the text off the page and put it in a movie and have it work exactly the same way, because our imaginations do different things with different mediums. So hold that in your back pocket as we move on. But in the actual story, as it unveils itself to us, things have shifted again. We're going from a place where it seems like Gandalf has solved the problem of the wolves by setting them on fire, and now we're zooming way out to the perspective of these eagles. And Tolkien knows that we're going to assume that these are regular eagles. In fact, in the artwork that he did of the great eagles, he was inspired by another artist doing artwork of regular eagles, and he needed to make sure that his audience understood that these were not just any eagles. These were magnificent, great eagles. These were massive birds. And if you are coming at this from our perspective of having read through the Silmarillion and understood the origins of these eagles, then you have a sense of that. But if you're just somebody reading The Hobbit, you don't. You don't know things like the wingspan of the great eagles were described by Tolkien, and this is not something most people know, as being 30 fathoms across. A fathom is typically measured, and there's different ways of measuring this, about 5.5 to 6 feet. 6 feet is the traditional measurement, which is probably the one he was using. So 6 times 30 is 180 feet across. That's how big these birds are described in the Silmarillion. So these are not typical eagles. These are very different. And in the text, he makes sure that we understand this. First of all, the very first thing we get from this is dialogue. That's intentional. These are people, just like goblins and trolls and wargs and hobbits and dwarves and wizards. They are a type of people. They have a society. They have the ability to make rational decisions. And not only that, but they have a structure. The Lord of the Eagles leaves with his two guards, just like royalty would when moving around anywhere. They would bring their personal guard with them. And of course, we're given the description about how they know what's going on. And we get this line, but eagles have keen eyes and can see small things at great distance. Well, I feel like anybody who knows what an eagle is probably also knows that fact, but you have to remember, this was written for young readers as well, and they may not have known that yet. But then he goes on with even more descriptions about this. The Lord of the Eagles of the Misty Mountains had eyes that could look at the sun unblinking and could see a rabbit moving on the ground a mile below, even in the moonlight. And I love the contrast there. The eagles had eyes that could look at the brightest thing in the sky, but could also see things very, very dim at the same time. They can handle the full spectrum of light. And you have to remember, the eagles were designed by Manwë. And Manwë is the Lord of the Valar. And the Valar designed the sun and the moon. And their light comes from them. So it would make sense that Manwë would design a creature that would be able to flourish in the full spectrum of the light of the Valar. And I know that sounds kind of complex and profound when you lay it out that way, much more than just, well, they can look at the sun and they can see a rabbit on the ground in the moonlight, but that's what it means. That's the meaning of this. This is why they're like this. And this paragraph goes on and explains that they can see the wolves and the fire. They have a hard time seeing the figures in the trees because they're occluded by the leaves. It doesn't actually use that word here, but it makes sense that they wouldn't be able to see the people in the trees if the trees are so thick that they can't see through the leaves. But they can see even the glint of the goblins' spears and helmets in the moonlight as they crept down the hillsides from their gate. Now, this is the first update we get in this section of what the goblins are actually doing. There was speculation, remember, in the previous section about, well, maybe they're running late because of the big ordeal with the dwarves. Maybe they're still searching for the dwarves. Are they going to show up on time? No, but are they still coming? Well, now we know they're still coming. They're on their way. And then we get even more descriptions about eagles. So first of all, the next sentence, the very first sentence of the next paragraph says, eagles are not kindly birds. Notice it does not say great eagles are not kindly birds. It's referring to regular eagles. Some are cowardly and cruel, but the ancient race of the northern mountains were the greatest of all birds. They were proud and strong and noble-hearted. So these are not just regular eagles that do the predator thing and they hunt their prey and sometimes they're cruel and sometimes they're cowardly. No, these are great eagles. These are the greatest of all birds. They are proud and strong and noble-hearted. Now notice, proud is the first thing that is mentioned here. Before being strong and noble-hearted, first and foremost, they are proud. And sometimes pride makes people make different kinds of decisions than you would expect. This also plays into why they only show up at certain times and they're not fully reliable because sometimes they're too proud to get involved because they don't need to. We also learn that although they don't eat goblins, they definitely don't like evil creatures. And I love this imagery of them, you know, swooping down and harassing them or picking them up and, you know, dropping them or whatever. And the reason was to stop whatever wickedness they were doing. And of course, the goblins hated the eagles as well because they were always scared that they were going to just swoop out of nowhere and start picking on them. And then we get the description that even then, they had no way of getting up to the highest peaks in the mountains in order to deal with them. But that also implies that they may have tried, or they potentially could have tried. Who knows? Maybe they tried climbing the peaks in the past, but given the ability to reach them, they probably would have retaliated because they're goblins and they're clever, but they're just not able to. So in the next paragraph, we get another very important first line in the paragraph. It seems to be a pattern here. The very first line of this paragraph says, "Tonight, the Lord of the Eagles was filled with curiosity to know what was afoot." Now, let me read that one more time. And I think if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you might clue into the thing that I'm going to pick out of this sentence. Tonight, the Lord of the Eagles was filled with curiosity to know what was afoot. Was filled. That implies something external. Something filled him up. Do you get where I'm going here? There are a lot of hints in this section that the events of this night are not just a coincidence, that there's something else going on. The way things are playing out seems to be almost orchestrated by some other hand. Why would the Lord of the Eagles just happen to be filled with curiosity on tonight's night, as opposed to any other? And so he summons his other eagles and they circle around and they notice this ring of wolves and these goblins. And then at the very beginning of the next paragraph, we get the line, "A very good thing, too," which it has an exclamation mark. This is one of the critiques people have made of The Hobbit, is the use of Tolkien's exclamation marks. And I feel like oftentimes these very serious critiques are the kinds of people who just never use exclamation marks in their writing. But again, you have to understand who this was focused at. I mean, this is, and it's a very good thing too. He's telling us, oh, this is a good thing. These are great eagles and they're not the bad guys. This isn't more bad guys coming to cause problems for our friends. This is a good thing. And then we get kind of a zoom in to what's happening on the ground. The wolves that had caught fire and fled into the forest had set it alight in several places. And then we get the description about it being high summer and the eastern side of the mountains didn't get enough rain. And there are basically all of these things that have come together that explain why the fire would have grown so quickly and so dangerously. And yet, amidst all of this, even though the wargs are afraid of fire, they did not leave the trees. Specifically, the wolf guards did not leave the trees. And then we're reminded about how terrifying they are. Tongues hanging out and their eyes shining as red and fierce as the flames. This is a comparison, and it is done on purpose. The flames are bright and terrible, but the glint in their eyes is equally as terrible. And so they don't stand down. They're a match. Now might be the best time ever to pick up a new language. Now, you might plan on traveling in the future or advancing your career, or maybe you just love learning something new. I've mentioned countless times how I find it so fascinating that J.R.R. Tolkien was so into all of these different languages and how much he had learned to speak and also understand the language at such a detailed level. And that inspires me to learn more about these things, like the Norse languages that were used for the names of the dwarves and Gandalf. All of that stuff is so cool. And that's why I'm excited to have Rosetta Stone as our sponsor this week. They offer 25 different languages, and they have 30 years of experience teaching everybody using a process that is faster to learn, and you retain the information longer. It's also great for learning pronunciation, and you can do it wherever you are, whenever you want, right on your desktop or your mobile app. So don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Lord of the Rings Lorecast listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Then suddenly, goblins came running up, yelling. The goblins arrive. They're there. And some of them actually sat down and laughed. Others waved their spears and clashed the shafts against their shields. And then, more importantly, goblins are not afraid of fire, and they soon had a plan which seemed to them most amusing. I think the big point here is that, well, there's two major points. First of all, the goblins are clever. He's reminding us the goblins figure things out. And they do it in a terrible way. In fact, they enjoy the chaos. They enjoy the suffering of their enemies. In fact, this has been a traditional quality of bad guys in literature going back who knows how long. The people who enjoy the suffering of their enemies are almost always represented as evil. Think about that for a moment. This is something I've noticed a lot, and I don't want to get into things beyond the scope of this. So I'm really just relating what I'm seeing in society in order to draw a connection to what's going on here. But it's something I see a lot on social media, is people being happy for the suffering of other people. That needs to stop. Let's just be honest. That is an evil quality, and it is reflected in the goblins, and it was reflected in Tolkien's time in the conflicts that he had to deal with. So what did the goblins do here? Well, they get the wolves together in a pack. They organize them. Some stacked fern and brushwood round the tree trunks. Others rushed round and stamped and beat and stamped until nearly all the flames were put out. But they did not put out the fire nearest the trees where the dwarves were. So, simply put, they organized the wolves. They put out the fires in the rest of the forest so that they would not get hurt. It wasn't because they cared about the trees. It was because it was dangerous for them. But then they made sure that the fire was relegated to only the area underneath the trees with the dwarves and Bilbo and Gandalf. And this works. They are smart and clever enough to understand that this works. It keeps the fire from spreading out into the rest of the forest, and it sends smoke and heat and eventually flames up those trees. And Bilbo, we're told, smoke was in Bilbo's eyes. He could feel the heat of the flames. Remember, Bilbo is one of the lowest people in these trees. He's about to get cooked. And if you've been around a bonfire, even a relatively small one, you know how much smoke can be put out by simply burning logs. Now imagine the amount of smoke being burnt by not just the dry tinder under the trees, but eventually the wet living tree that's burning underneath them. The amount of heat, smoke, and steam would have been unbearable. And yet, the goblins begin to sing because they enjoy this suffering. 15 birds in 5 fir trees. Their feathers were fanned in a fiery breeze. But funny little birds, they had no wings. Oh, what shall we do with the funny little things? Roast them alive or stew them in a pot? Fry them, boil them, and eat them hot. This harkens back to the previous songs, but it also shows how cruel they are, making fun of the party stuck in the trees. But notice the very end of this. Roast them alive or stew them in a pot, fry them, boil them, and eat them hot? This section is about eating them. And this comes up again and again and again. The trolls wanted to eat them. The goblins want to eat them. The wolves want to eat them. They are constantly being pursued by things that want to eat them. And it makes sense when it's a wolf because, well, wolves eat things. They're hunters. They're carnivorous. But when it's a troll or a goblin, it starts to become almost cannibalistic. There was a sense that Bilbo might have even been eaten by Gollum. This is the nature of these creatures. They kill for fun and then they consume. That's all they do is consume. Evil consumes because it does not create on its own. And I think there's a second part to the use of, in the writings here, the use of being eaten as a real driver of fear and danger. I think that there's probably a primordial thing about that. Something in our very nature that goes back to being hunters and gatherers and living in a more wild world with large beasts that could potentially eat you at any time. This is something that is a natural fear that would make sense to have, especially in youth, in order to make sure that you survive. If you wander too far from everyone else, you might get eaten. If you poke your head in the wrong cave or in the wrong forest, you might get eaten. So maybe don't do that so that you survive and then you continue existing and having children and living on. So I think that there's something deeper there and a reason why that keeps coming up. So the goblins keep taunting them. Fly away, little birds. They're making fun. They're in a tree, so they're birds. Fly away if you can. Come down, little birds, or you will get roasted in your nests. Sing, sing, little birds. Why don't you sing? It kind of reminds me of like in Westerns when they would be like, dance for me, and then they'd shoot at their feet, you know, like humiliating them, right? And then Gandalf responds, go away, little boys. Notice that Gandalf doesn't back down. In fact, he takes their jeering and then jeers back at them. He returns their aggression. He doesn't slink away, but he only gets aggressive when they start it first. Go away, little boys, shouted Gandalf in answer. It isn't bird nesting time. Also, naughty little boys that play with fire get punished. He's threatening them, but he's threatening them specifically in a way that children would understand. Many children, especially in this time period, would have heard something like naughty little boys that do something bad get punished. And that draws a correlation for the audience, especially for the young audience. These goblins are acting like naughty little boys. In our culture, naughty little boy has other connotations at times, but in their culture, it was very strictly just, these are bad kids. Don't be like the bad kids. So their audience, that younger audience would understand. Now, we're also explained here that Gandalf was, of course, frightened. He was showing that he was not frightened, but deep down he was. And this reinforces that idea that he is a great spirit in a mortal body. He can suffer. He could burn to death. And that would be excruciating. It would be no less painful or dangerous to him than it would be for Bilbo. And then we get more of a song. Burn, burn tree and fern, shrivel and scorch, a fizzling torch to light the night for our delight, yahay. Bake and toast 'em, fry and roast 'em, till beards blaze and eyes glaze, till hair smells and skins crack, fat melts and bones black, in cinders lie beneath the sky, so dwarves shall die and light the night for our delight. Yahay, yahari, hey, yahoy. So a few notes here about this point, and you might be wondering, I've dressed it a little bit, but what's with the songs? This is like when you watch a movie and all of a sudden everyone breaks out in a musical and sings, and it's like, how did everybody know the choreography and the lyrics to that song? Of course they don't. The point here isn't to be accurate to the actual events. The point here is to be entertaining, but also to convey the kinds of things that they are thinking or maybe even saying in a way that makes it in some ways feel even more sinister. They're united in this song, this terrible, terrible song. And the second point about this is that we get yahay and yahari hey, yahoy, those types of shout outs of, I don't know what that's called in music. It's an alliteration maybe, where you say a word just to sing a word. It's not scatting, but scatting is similar in that there's sounds that you play like an instrument, but you shout them out. This feels to me more like a worker's song or like yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me, that kind of thing, which I think plays into this idea of these being, unfortunately, more working class kinds of people who are lower on the social spectrum. And that is a thing that Tolkien used in these works. And it's not something I bring up very often, but it is one of the few places where I feel like there's a little bit of an elitism going on there. So we'll just leave that where it is. So the situation keeps getting worse. The flames are climbing up the trees, and Gandalf is now in danger. We know that he was on his own tree and he was close to the top. So everybody else must be in danger as well. The bark catches fire. The lower branches start to crack. Gandalf climbs to the very top of his tree. And then we get this line. The sudden splendor flashed from his wand like lightning as he got ready to spring down from on high right among the spears of the goblins. Gandalf was ready to attack. And he knew that this might be the end of him. But even more interesting, we get a confirmation that he has his wand, his staff, still with him. Now, again, how he climbed, holding onto his staff up a tree, I'm not really sure. Maybe he's got like a sheath that he puts it in. Probably not. A hoop on his, I don't know, his robes. I don't know how he does it. But anyway, it doesn't get explained here. He has his staff. But what's more interesting than, he still has his staff, is the sudden splendor flashed from his wand like lightning. Now, you might be thinking, this is lightning. He's casting a lightning spell. I don't really think that's what is meant there. Splendor flashed. That's light. That is the light from the top of his staff is flashing. He's basically creating a flashbang. He's not attacking them with lightning. He's disorienting them with a flash of light because Gandalf can control light and flame. He's like shocking them and getting ready to spring down to take them on in actual like hand-to-hand combat. That's what Gandalf is doing. If he was about to strike them with a lightning bolt, he would have done that already, and he would have stayed up in the tree in order to do it. But fortunately, he doesn't have to. And yet he's willing to. He's willing to risk his life. We're told that that would have been the end of him, though he probably would have killed many of them as he came hurtling down like a thunderbolt, not as a thunderbolt. But he never leapt. Just at that moment, the Lord of the Eagles swept down from above, seized him in his talons, and was gone. All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back, of course, next week with another episode, and I hope all of you are being safe out there. Take care of yourselves. The world's a crazy place. Also, we have some new patrons we have to shout out. Thank you so much for your support. Matt B., Rick D., Jameson, Michael C., OC, and Stevinsky. Thank you so much for joining the Patreon. I hope you're enjoying your ad-free episodes, all the other stuff that you get, all of that, you know, all the goodies. Thank you for being here. If you would like to help support the show, you can go to patreon.com/LOTRLorecast and you can get a whole bunch of cool things like ad-free episodes, bonus episodes. There's a bonus episode for almost every single episode that I've done, unless that episode was like an extended episode or like a special episode. And you can also get t-shirts and all sorts of fun things. So go check that out. I would really, really appreciate the support. You keep me going and I really appreciate that. All right, let's talk about all of our VIP patrons who get shout outs every week. We've got AK Music Lover, Apollo, Atlee Morton, Azzle Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Brandy D, Callie Cat, Cutter Metalworks, Daniel Nightweaver, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Fulcrum, George B, Gerald CFC, Gimli a Break, Ginger Fury, Juan is My Hero, Jemison, Gemma D, Jezzer, Katie S, Capenna, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Nick K, Richard J, Rivqua, Rosie Rose, The Silly Marillion, TJT, Tom's the Bombadil, and Tour Son of Hoor 97. Thank you so much to all of you. Also, if you'd like to help out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, even if you don't listen there. If you have an Apple account, you can do that. That helps a ton. I'll read out your review on a future episode if it's here in the US, because I can't see everybody's reviews yet. But even if you live somewhere else, that would be amazing. Thank you so much for the help. Also, you can rate the show on Spotify and you can share it with your friends. All of that stuff is super, super duper helpful. I just said super duper. I don't usually say super duper. All right, that's it for me for this week. And until next week, stay safe out there. And until next time, maybe find a tree to climb. Who knows? Maybe you'll meet an eagle and hopefully you won't get hunted by wolves, I guess. I mean, it's much more enjoyable to climb trees when you're not being hunted by wolves and it's on fire. All right, I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes or just search Robots Radio Discord or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.